First John chapter 5, let's read verses 14 and 15 together in unison. First John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, let's read together in unison. Ready? And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And let's pray. Father, for the next 31, 32 minutes, would you help me tonight? I don't plan to be long, but Lord, a truth that could change virtually every person's life in this room. Lord, you made us to fellowship with you. You made us to speak with you. And I pray that you'd help us tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Kirsten, could you push that door too? I think we got some folks in the building, and I don't want to bother them. People don't want to, in a business building, don't want to hear me preach. Prayer may be, in my opinion, the hardest part of the Christian life. Learning to pray and learning to pray effectively may be just one of the hardest things in the Christian life. You say, well, how hard is it to talk to God? Let me ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. How much did you do of it today? How much have you done this week? So before you get too upset with me for saying that, let's chart your time chart on it. And you'll find out you probably give less time to it than you think. You get about 15 seconds of it before you eat. Lord bless the food in my body. Thank you for it. Help us have a good day. Amen. Three times a day. All right. Some of you, that's about as far as it goes. Prayer not only takes time, but it takes a humility to admit that you need help. There is a humility to prayer. When you admit to God, you need his help. Nobody likes to say, I need help. I can't do this. Especially if you're of the male persuasion. You heard why the Jews wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, didn't you? Moses refused to stop and ask for directions. Anyway, and there was no GPS. Prayer means you have to admit you need help. You don't have all the answers. You don't know for sure exactly what you should do. It also is hard because you have to decide if you're going to do what you want or you're going to do what God wants. You're going to decide, is it what you need or is it what God thinks you need? Right. You have to decide whether you're going to listen to what he says or ignore him and tell him what you want him to do. Add to this, when you talk to God, he doesn't audibly talk back. All right? Folks, you've never heard God's voice. Nope. Neither have I. Just so you know. And anybody that tells you they have is a liar. God quit. Now, there were times in the past where God did speak audibly, especially in the Bible. But he quit doing that according to the Bible because the rest of the Bible had been written. He spoke the word to man. Once all the words necessary for man to live were here, he quit speaking to man in an audible voice and in visions and in dreams. You say, oh, do you believe that God speaks through dreams? Nope, not anymore. Say, how do you know that? Because he gave us a Bible. He doesn't need to speak through dreams. Amen. He doesn't speak through visions. He doesn't speak through dreams. He doesn't speak in an audible voice. Oral Roberts did not see a 900-foot Jesus. He had bad pizza before he went to bed. I always think it's funny, these guys believe in faith healing. How could Oral Roberts believe in faith healing and have a hospital? Amen. Do you ever wonder that question? Now, I'm not real smart, but I'm smart enough to know if he had the ability to heal, why did he have a hospital staffed with doctors and nurses? So, since the Bible is complete, God does not speak audibly, but he has spoken every word in which we need to live. There it is. It's called Amen. The King James Bible.
Amen.
That's what you need. Right. And according, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word of God.
Amen.
Not only that, it's hard to talk to somebody who doesn't talk back. It's kind of like you ladies trying to talk to your husband when he's busy doing something else. You can talk to him, but you're not sure if it registered or not. You're not sure if it really went in there or not. Prayer, this is one of my favorite statements. Prayer is not rubbing the bottle and the genie pops out to do whatever you tell him to do. Amen. Prayer is not the power of positive thinking. Well, God, I want this, and I believe you could do this for me, so you got to do it. Who are we to tell God what he has to do? That's like your children coming home and say, Dad, you got $5,000 sitting in the bank. It's mine. Can you give it to me now? Matter of fact, just give it to me. It ain't going to happen. By the way, I don't have it either, so don't worry about it. But let's just face the facts. The lesser has no right to tell the greater what to do. Walk into your boss's office tomorrow and tell him how he's supposed to do his job once. I'd rather you do that than tell God what God has to do. You see, God says that we can have confidence that he hears us. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Can I tell you something? The word prayer is the word ask. The word prayer literally means ask. Now, listen to this very carefully here. God made us to fellowship with us. Why would he not want to hear from us? Why would he not want to talk to us? He made us to fellowship. You don't have much of a marriage if you all never talk to each other. You got to talk. All right? You don't have a good relationship with people if you never talk to them. I have some friends who have changed through the years. I still consider them a friend, but I don't talk to them. I will be friendly towards them, but I'm not going to go out of my way because they've gone a different direction and they've gone way out there or headed way out there, and I've stepped back so that I don't have to spend time with them. I don't want to get in an argument over what we disagree about. I've had to tell some of my friends, look, call me anytime you want, but we're only going to talk about things we agree about. Amen. And all this other garbage, we're not going to talk about it. Got it? And I've had some friends call me, and we have agreed not to talk about those things. I have others that have never talked to me again. And that's okay. They're still my friend. Now, I'm their friend. They may not be a friend back to me, but I can be a friend to them. God made us to fellowship with us. Why would he not want to talk with us? Just as any parent wants to hear from a child, especially if your children are away from you. All three of our kids live far away from here. I got two in Lexington, Kentucky, and got my son and daughter-in-law in Miami, Florida. I love hearing from my kids. My son Jeff worked a double last night. He started work at midnight and got off at 4 o'clock this afternoon. He texted me when he got off work today. He said, Dad, glad to hear the great report. And I said, go home, get some rest. He said, I'm going to, because he got to be back at work at midnight tonight. He said, I feel bad not going to church, but Dad, I've done two doubles and a 12 this week. I got to get some sleep or I'm not going to make it tomorrow. And I said, I get it, son. You got to do what you got to do. And he said, but I hate it. I said, I hate it for you, but it's okay. And wait a minute. I like hearing from my kids. I loved hearing from my son Josh today. He said, Dad, man, we had a great day. He said, I had this many in my department that I oversee, and we had this many visitors. We had this many visitors in church and had a great day. This many people saved. This many people baptized. Man, I love that. I loved hearing from my daughter saying they had a good day on the bus, and 5 minutes back from the college with nobody but the workers on it, the battery caught on fire, and then they had to put it out and had to walk the rest of the way back to college. Gotta love it. Yeah, buddy. She said, good thing we had a fire extinguisher. I said, now you know why they're required by law. Took the battery, melted it, totally gone. Gone. That's the second bus she's been on this semester that burned like that. I'm laughing. I was laughing. I really was. I'm thinking, don't you ride our bus when you come back home? Now, God did not make prayer hard. We sinners have. Amen. Let me tell you what prayer originally was. If you went back to the book of Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says that God came down, Genesis chapter 3, God came down and walked with man in the garden.
Right.
And they had fellowship one with the other. Say, what was that prayer? God was teaching Adam how to run and have control of the earth. And when Adam had questions, he was able to ask God how this worked. How to go about this. How to do this. He can disappoint you. There never was such a thing as cavemen. God gave man everything he needed to know. Man didn't find fire by getting mad and throwing two rocks at each other and saw sparks. Okay? God taught man how to make fire. Did you know in Bible days they were mining gold? They were mining iron? They had to have the wherewithal to melt it out of the rock and melt it down and to purify it and to shape it. They were also doing copper and tin and other metals. It didn't lay on top of the ground in sheets and they got to use it. Wonder how they found out about that. Prayer, Adam, and God talking and walking through the day. Now, listen to this very carefully. God and man talked every day. When man sinned, there was a separation. Sin was the separator between God and man. And since that time, prayer has become much more difficult. And it's not God's fault. God didn't sin.
That's
right. Amen.
Man did. So, it's not the way God intended. So, now we have to talk to him through our faith. We have to believe that he hears us. And we have to pray according to his will by the word of God so that we know that he hears us. Now, listen to me very carefully here. I'm going to give you about three things to show you how God says you can know that God hears you. Listen to the statement. Just because he hears you doesn't mean you're going to get everything you ask for. I have heard my children many a times that did not grant the request. But Daddy, I want candy for breakfast. I heard your request, but it's not going to be deemed. Neither one of us are going to answer to Mama for that one. Mm-mm-mm-mm. But Dad, she won't know. You can't keep your mouth shut. I know better than that. Somebody's going to go to school or go to church and say, you know what my dad let me do, and word's going to get back. Besides, you shouldn't do it anyway. So just because God hears you does not mean God's going to answer the way you want him to. But you can have the confidence that he hears you. Number one, you ready? Number one, we know God hears us when we ask according to his will. Look at 1 John 5 again, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Wow. Say, what's his will? 98% of the will of God is right there. 98% of it. There are so many people jazzed out about 2% of the will of God that they missed the 98. Did you know if you get a 98 on a test, it's still an A+? I'd rather get a 98% than to stop at the first question because I couldn't figure it out and get zero on the test. I don't know where I learned it, honestly. But going through high school, going through college, I learned when you take a test, you just go through and answer everything you know. Skip everything you don't know. And if you got time at the end, go back and guess at the ones you didn't know for sure. That's how you get through things a whole lot faster. I knew kids that wouldn't get done. They were straight A students, but they worked so hard to get each and every question as it came in order that they didn't have time to finish it up. I got better grades than they did just because, and some of them, I guessed at. But I went through and answered everything I knew very quickly, and then went back and answered the ones I didn't know. That's what the will of God is. Do everything we do know, and God will take care of what you don't know.
Amen.
It's real simple. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 37, verse number 4. And if you don't get anything, listen to this real carefully here. Watch this. Psalm 37, verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, I want you to know something. It doesn't say when you delight in the Lord, he'll give you everything you want. That's the way we interpret it. God says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires. God will change your desirer. God changes what you want. If you're wanting something that you should not want, God says, you yield to me and I'll give you the right want. You might not be wanting the right thing. Does that make sense to everybody? God wants to change your wanter, not just give you everything you ask for. God, I want a 1965 Mustang, candy apple red, white convertible top, white interior. I might want it, but it's not part of God's will. Make sense? I would not have any place, A, to put it. B, it's too nice a car for me to drive around. And C, I know me, I'd probably get in trouble in that car. So I'm not going to get it. And D, there ain't no way I could afford one. Not these days. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Just because I want it doesn't mean I should ask God and get it. How about, God, I need something dependable to get me to where I'm going. I need to take care of the needs so I can do everything that the folks in the church need me to do. I'll take that. God changed my wanter. Man, that's good stuff. You see, we should ask God for what he wants us to have, not just what we want. When you go to God and say, God, I've got to. You got three credit cards maxed out. You got to pay your rent. You got to pay your utilities. And you got to pay three credit card bills. And you're mad at God because he's not bringing you enough money to pay all the debt that you have. Don't get mad at God. He didn't do the debt. Why don't you change all the things that you want? Too many times we're too impatient to wait and get it and then pay for it so we don't go in debt farther and then have to work harder to get more. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. All right. In other words, give God veto power on your requests. When I ask God for something, I say, God, I think this is what I want. But I want you to have, I want to have what you want me to have. God, would you help me to get what you want? If it's not what I want, will you show me? That's asking according to his will. Boy, that's good stuff.
Amen.
We must be willing to die to what we want to get what God wants. I was a very happy man for 23 and a half years as an assistant pastor. My favorite word in the English language was, preacher. I loved having somebody just above me. Guess what? For 23 and a half years, I didn't quite understand what that word preacher meant until 6 years ago when I started Grace Baptist Church. I now know what it meant. I don't like that word quite as much. There's a little more that goes with it. No, I love it. Wouldn't trade it. Not at all. I know it's exactly what God wants me to do. But by the way, the four other churches we worked in was God's will also. I never really planned on pastoring. I was content. I always said, God's going to take a stick of dynamite to prove I'm the pastor. He used a case of C4. It worked. I knew exactly what he meant. Can I tell you something? Realize God knows best, not you. Realize that God sees much farther than you can see. He sees the end before the beginning thereof, and you only see the next step.
That's
Do you know why God doesn't tell you when you're 10 years old what the rest of your life is going to be? Because you'd never want to do it. You really wouldn't. God doesn't tell you when you're 20 either. Or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or... I don't think I have anybody over into the 90s yet. Can I tell you something? God doesn't show you the end at the beginning. He wants you to take it step by step, day by day, as I preached last week. Realize that God knows best and he sees what you cannot see. You know, I have to understand that God sees much farther down the road than I do.
Yes, sir.
I have to understand that there are those coming behind me that I have to be patient with because they've not traveled the road I've traveled. I must be patient with them because I've been down that road. I know the path. I can do it with my eyes closed. But there's somebody, it's their first trip down the road. I must be patient. So, well, that's just so easy. It wasn't the first time you did it. Some of you have been tithing for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 80 years. Tithing's like breathing to me. You take new Christians, tithing's, that's hard stuff.
Yes, sir.
That takes faith. Good night. It takes faith not to tithe. I've tithed long enough to know, trust me. But that first time you do it, it's hard. Can I tell you something? Those of us have been doing it a long time, it's hard not to. I'm not here to get you money. It doesn't matter to me. I want you obedient with God. Can I tell you something? We need to ask God to give us a new wanter, not just a man. He gives us what we want. Sometimes it ought to be, God, I want this, but if you don't want me to have it, let me know. And don't get mad when he says no. Too many of us get mad at God. God's not the United States government and a welfare check.
Amen.
That you get whatever you ask for. Everybody doing okay? All right. We need to learn the humility to ask God to do what he wants and help us work it out so that it's best. I think God wants what's best for my life. Matter of fact, I know he does. I think God has a better idea of what I need than what I need. So if God knows better for my life, and God wants better for my life, and he has a better idea what I need to remember, I'm not God.
Amen.
And it takes humility to say, but I want what you want. You know how many times I've walked on that piece of property telling God what I wanted. It's not all there yet. But can I tell you something? Most of the time I'm out there praying, saying, God, can you see this? Or will you help me see this? Remember the first time I walked out on that piece of property and God broke my heart, Brother Mike. It was a wilderness full of plastic pots. 14,237,374 plastic pots.
You got it.
Everywhere. But I stood right about here. And God said, can you see it? I said, Lord, what am I looking at? He said, can't you see it right there on that hill? Church building right there. Parking lot over here. I could see the buses parked there. People going in and out of church. I could hear the kids playing and carrying on. People laughing. I said, I see it, God. I took a couple of you men out there and looked at that piece of property and had a couple of you say, you sure we can build a church here? You think there's enough room? Oh, yeah, I can see it. Took some of you folks out there and told you what we were doing, and you went out there and you thought, there ain't no way we're going to put a church out here. Fought the poison sumac and cleaned it up a little bit. And then God stepped in. Look what God's doing. Now I walk out there and say, okay, what's next? I don't tell him anymore. I look at that 13 acres that's right over here, saying, God, take care of our parking situation, put gymnasium up, ball fields. We'll leave that clump of trees over there for the deer so the preacher can hunt. Everything's going to be all right in my father's house. Amen? I don't tell him anymore. Just ask him. God, what do you want? What do you want? I've learned to let God show me because his vision's far better than my vision. So, number one, we know God hears us when we ask according to his will. Number two, we should never be upset or hurt or disappointed when God gives us what he wants for us instead of what we wanted. Can I tell you something? How in the world could you get upset with God if he gave you what he wanted versus what you wanted? That's like a kid at Christmas getting a present and getting mad because it wasn't what he wanted. Ingrate. Nobody liked getting underwear or socks for Christmas. Sometimes that's what your family needed, though. Yeah, buddy. I knew I shouldn't have said that in West Virginia. I'm not going to ask, Brother Mike. No, we're going to pass on that one. Yeah, if you read the book of Job, you find out it appeared for a while Job wasn't going to get what Job wanted. Job was going through a hard time. Lost 5 businesses, lost all of his wealth, lost his health, lost the loyalty of his wife, had 10 children die in one day. I'd say Job was having a pretty tough time. And then he had 3 friends to come comfort him, and all they did is beat him over the head for a while. And it appeared for a while that Job was the bad guy. And Job looked up and said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I esteem his words more than my necessary food. God, whatever you want, I'll make it through. God gave him back double what he had before. Job never asked for anything back. I challenge you, go through the book of Job. Job never asked God for one thing back. But God gave him his health. God gave him twice as big of businesses. God gave him 10 more children. That took care of the disloyalty of his wife. She went from 10 to 20. Shut her up in a hurry, amen? Yeah, buddy. Imagine having 10 kids. They're all grown, and then you got to have 10 more? Miss Arlene can go through that. I'm not. Wait a minute. Yeah. Time to get busy. God knows the timing. Not just what you need. He knows when you need it. Let's not get ahead of God. Let's let God give us what we need when we need. You know, I don't get too wound up anymore about things not happening when I wanted it done. This project should have been done a year ago in my book. Amen. I gave up a long time ago worried about deadlines. Going to happen when it's going to happen. It's kind of like a kiss from your mother-in-law. You know it's coming. Just close your eyes and pucker because here it comes. You're not sure when it's going to hit, but it's going to come. Amen? You know, did you know that the devil can delay answers to prayer? There's a story in the Old Testament about Satan was fighting with Michael and Gabriel, delaying an answer to prayer. And it took Jesus to come in and step in and kick the snot out of him, get the answer of prayer, I think it was to Daniel. There was a spiritual battle going on that we know not of in answer to prayer. Sometimes it's being delayed by old smutty face himself. Can I tell you one of the reasons why we've been fighting all of the government and Jefferson County and the rest of the devil's crowd? Because we're seeing people get saved and lives changed and we're doing what God wants us to do.
That's good.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Sometimes God can't do what we want because we're sinners. And he can't trust us with it, and we still have to face the consequences of sin. Let me show you what I mean.
And let me be very honest. My grandmother passed away 1 year ago yesterday. 99 and a half years old. Say, oh, preacher, don't you miss her? Of course I do. But That was a year ago yesterday. I still haven't cried a tear, and I preached her funeral. My grandma's been in heaven for a year. She's having the time of her life. She's even bothering God right. I mean, she's
having fun. Why should I get upset because she went to heaven? Now, I miss talking to her every once in a while. I used to call her every Saturday. For over 25 years, I talked to that woman every Saturday. Literally, I could count on that hand the number of times in 25 years I didn't talk to her. Literally. Can I tell you something? Why should I get upset that God didn't keep her around a little longer? She was already 99 and a half. It's going to happen. Well, I know somebody was young and they got this disease, and we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for God to keep them around, and they didn't stay around. God allowed them to die. No, God didn't allow them to die. They died because they're sinners just like the rest of us are. I hate to disappoint you. I just don't think it's fair that that person died and somebody that lives bad didn't. Well, usually we're talking about a Christian. Brother Stoltz passed away July 6th, 58 years old. I just don't think it's fair. 58 years old, he had a lot of life left to give. He's doing so much for church. Some old drunk on the road, still alive. Well, guess what? Brother Stoltz is in heaven playing tag with the angels, playing his harmonica and his git fiddle up there, having a good time. That drunk, if he'd have died, would have been burning in hell right now. Maybe God allowed him to die so that old drunk could get saved.
Amen.
Did you ever think of that? Well, I don't think it's fair. I got in a car accident and somebody that's living wicked hasn't had any. That's not in reference to you. The DNR is coming after Hmong. She killed about 14 deer with her vehicle this year. Wiley, you're going to have to teach her to shoot a gun, all right? It's a whole lot. Bullets are cheaper than bumpers. You know, God may or may not change some things, but he's not going to change the justice of the earth system for you.
Amen.
As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Well, I know good couples, and they're having a hard time having children, and they've had miscarriages. My son and daughter-in-law have had two miscarriages. I got two grandbabies in heaven. I hurt for my son and my daughter-in-law, but can I tell you something? Don't get mad at me. I don't hurt for those kids. They'll never face sin. They'll never face the nastiness of this world. I got two perfect grandchildren, literally. Probably the only hope they had because I know their father. You got to know my son Josh to really appreciate that. Brother Mike, I showed him some pictures of our house. I showed him to his father-in-law down there. He said, hey, I hope Josh got these so you can find out that you can cheat rock mud and not get it all over the floor. I said, Josh can't eat without getting it all over the floor, let alone sheetrock mud. He laughed. He said, okay, you got me on that one. That's true. You know, God may or may not change some things, but don't get discouraged and disappointed because it didn't work out the way you wanted it. There is a difference between faith and belief. Well, I believe God can. Yeah, God can do anything, but it doesn't mean he's gonna. Bible says the devil believes in God and trembles. Just because you believe God can doesn't require God to do it. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes, sir.
All right. Number three, and I'll hurry. We are to continue obeying at the last command until he shows us the answer to our request.
We are to continue obeying the last command until he shows us the answer to the next request. For instance, I never looked for a job in the ministry. When we were in college, my wife was finishing up Bible college. I finished a year before her. I was taking some classes on the side and doing a bunch of stuff in the church and working part-time at the college and working full-time job. We were busy. She'll tell you this is the truth. God, I'll promise you. Got a call from Brother Heil's secretary to meet with him about a job opportunity, and I never went to him about it. Met with him. Went, candidated, went to California for 2 years. We were in a mess. It was getting pretty bad. It was worse than my wife ever knew. I never even told her. I was sitting in my office one day, and my phone rang, Brother Mike. And it was Irma McKinney. She said, "Brother Bush, this is Irma McKinney. Could you hold Brother Hyles' light, talk to you for a moment?" "Yes, ma'am." I waited about 25, 30 seconds, and I heard this, "Greg, this is Brother Hyles."
"Yes, sir."
"Greg, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this about where you're at. One question, do you want to stay?"
I'd never called him. He knew things my wife didn't know. To this day, I still don't know how he knew. And he's been dead and in heaven for 17 years. I said, "Preacher, it's not a matter of want to stay, I can't." I said, "If I stay and I'm loyal to my principles, I'll be disloyal to the pastor and the church here. And if I'm loyal to the pastor, I'll be disloyal to my principles and the word of God, and I'm not changing the principles of God's word for him, for you, or for anybody else." And I thought that was the dumbest thing in the world to say to Jack Hyles. He said, "All right, I'll help you." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "I'm going to help you get out of there." He said, "You're in a mess." He said, "How much does your wife know?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "You haven't told her?" I said, "No." He said, "You need to go tell her. We're going to get you out of there." I didn't have a resume. I didn't tell anybody. Went from there to South Carolina. Worked there for 4.5 years. I was busy working at my desk, and the phone rang. I got an offer from Brother Hyles to go work for Brother Hyles. The only time in my life I ever began to tremble in fear, literally. I said, "Quit lying to me. Quit joking around. That's not funny." "I'm not joking." "Yes, sir." "You ought to try to go home and tell your wife that one." While I was there working, time was to move here or be an assistant pastor for a while. And then it was time to start the church here. God was very clear. "You know, I still don't have a resume." "Never have, never plan to. God knows my phone number. He knows my address. If he needs me, he'll come get me." I continued doing what I was supposed to do. And when the bad times came, I said, "Okay, God, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. You show me what else you want me to do." He made it very evident. You don't understand how bad it was in California. I was working a part-time job painting to pay the bills. I made $22,000 a year, and my rent was $1,200 a month. My wife was working full-time in the school. She made about $10,000. Have you ever lived in Southern California on $30,000 a year? He used it as a crutch to try to get me to change. I took my Bible one day and threw it on his desk and say, "God didn't change, you changed. I'm not changing it." "So you shouldn't have done it." "Okay, don't do it, but I did." God took care of it. It's no big deal. I know how rough it was. The last year I was there, we had 120-some baptized, and over 70 of it was under my leadership, out of a church of 1,100 people. My wife and I were working our tails off. I kept doing what I was supposed to do. God says, "Let me show you. Get busy. Let me show you. Get busy. Let me show you. You keep doing what God commanded you to do. Quit sitting on your blessed assurance doing nothing. Get up and do something. Start obeying the Bible." We're not supposed to stop obeying because things get tough. "Well, I'll keep doing this till God opens another door or till God shuts the door." Did you know the devil can open and close doors too? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's not a matter of opening and closing doors. You keep obeying till God tells you to do something else. Amen. Faith is doing all you can God's way and letting him do what you cannot do on your own. He may not put the stone in the path to step onto until your foot's going down, but trust me, it'll be there. Amen. You might be walking through thinking, "I don't see nothing, but here we go," and you'll find it. "I got one more, here we go." Keep telling God, "You help me get him up, I'll put him down." I've put him down a few times wondering if there's anything to step onto. But when you do everything according to his will, you keep going at the last command, God will make sure you don't fall. And it may appear as though you're falling, in like in the case of Job. But look what happened when he landed. Job kept doing what he was supposed to do in spite of the difficulties, and God blessed him in spite of it. God says that we can have the confidence that he hears us. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. If you just talk to him, you know he's heard you. Trust me. It may not be the answer you want, but I can assure you, God heard you. You might have to wait for the answer. You might have to continue on by faith for the answer, but God will hear you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. You'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I don't know that for sure. I want you to think about that. Who'd say, preacher, if I died, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Who'd say, preacher, if you may put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed tonight personally. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Hands everywhere.